What's good? What's good? We are back. One and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. We started going live now. Used to go pre-recorded, but now we live. We live on Facebook, we live on Instagram, and we live on YouTube. And we about to bring on a special guest. He will be fighting at BKFC Fight Night, Clearwater, Florida. Main event is Warren versus Crear. That's May 2nd, 2025, 7 p.m. Eastern Time at the OCC Roadhouse and Museum Clearwater. And he will be fighting a guy who will be making his debut in the BKFC, Chachi Versace. Let's bring on the one and only good friend of the show, Anthony the Devil's Advocate Yost. Ant, what's good, man?
What's up, man? How you doing? Long time no speak, man. It's good to be back.
Yeah, man. I'm glad you back into the BKFC thing. I know you said you were gonna take a break for a little while, but I guess you changed your mind on it.
Yeah, man. Like most fighters, I'm glad you brought me on, because from the last time we talked to the time we're talking now is I went through a lot of ups and downs and more of a soul searching situation, because, you know, as much as I was real happy after my last performance, you know, I did lose, and I did lose twice back to back. So in the end, ultimately, we were trying to like debate on what we should do next. I do have a background, many years of MMA, you know, amateur. I had 5 professional. So we're like, okay, maybe we'll go back to this. And then just really I know what it takes to be a professional MMA guy. I've had the honor of training with some high level guys, and I just am not putting in the time in the grappling aspect as I should have been to even think about stepping in there. Me and my coach just thought, you know what, let's just take that extra time. Let's not do MMA. Let's just focus on bare knuckle, and we'll just wait for the right opportunity to pop up. So that's what me and Scott decided to do, is take our time, perfect my craft, and wait for the right opportunity.
So you're about to fight Chachi Versace, making his debut. So I'm guessing there's no footage of him, right?
Well, my wife is awesome at this, so I did get to see some of his amateur MMA fights that he did have, which he only has, I think, like 4 or 5. And then he has a few small, quick little clips of his amateur BKFC fights he had. So I know most fighters are like, it's my coach's job to study. It's, you know, I'm not going to do any of that. Well, I took a complete different route this time around, and I am stalking Chachi. I mean, 2 days after our fight was announced, and I know he got the same notification on Facebook that says Anthony Yost is now a top fan. You know, I mean, like, I want to know everything about him. So I've been trying to study, and I have seen some recent footage that his gym posted of him sparring, actually. I mean, I don't know why, but hey, and all that stuff. So I have got to study him a little bit. So I guess some footage, but the clearest footage definitely would be his amateur days, and that was years ago. So you can't really go off of that.
Now, I like what you said there, because a couple fighters have been saying that, like, they just kind of trust their coaches to kind of, you know, look up the fighter's background, give them the game plan. But you as a fighter, I mean, you should be able to look up some stuff yourself and kind of put your own little input too, right?
And I agree. I trust Scott with everything, man. I trust him to teach my kids, you know what I'm saying? So, but I also feel like in the moment of the fight, it is just me and it is just him. So I feel like it is my responsibility as a fighter myself to do the research. So it's not just listening to my coach, but being able to visualize what we're talking about also.
And what's his fight style from what you've seen?
Amateur. I mean that in the nicest way. He's he is just kind of a brawler. And I did listen to one of his he did a podcast over not too, like, towards the beginning of it, and he made the comments. He's like, well, I've been in a lot of street fights. And in my mind, first thing that pops in my head, I've been around this game for 15 years, my man. Being in street fights is And this is coming from somebody that, I mean, this is coming from a humble point of view. I have had 2 bare knuckle fights and I have been dropped in both of them. So I understand the dangers of the sport. And there is nothing like, street fights do not compare to getting punched to an actual professional athlete bare knuckle. It is a different story. It is not like the gloved ones. I think he's going to come in kind of like a brawler. So I think that's what he's, from what I've done research on, is I'm going to look at the ground and throw some hooks and hope they land.
Now, I see you posted something where I guess Chachi, you know, being that he's part of Knuckle Town Official, he's kind of a favorite, you know. People, they like him, so they probably rooting against you and rooting for him. So what's the mindset? Ain't that like some extra motivation when you go in there, like knowing that it's probably a lot of cats rooting against you because they like him?
Yeah, and I think, like I said, I've done a lot of growing since the last time we talked. So I am looking at this opportunity to look at it as, I know that on paper and in my brain that his skill set is nowhere near mine. So getting this opportunity to go into his hometown where he is sponsored by the venue, I've seen him up on the stage at the venue discussing our fights. I see that our picture is literally on the TV screens inside the bar. You know, like if you go to like the B-Dubs, the best way, and they have like the monitors. With
Wait, the so the venue there. That you're fighting at is sponsoring him?
Yeah, he is sponsored directly from there. I think he helps throw events there.
Okay.
And so he's one of them guys. You know, he's a biker. He seems like a really good local dude. But if, in all honesty, nothing he does has really impressed me. I'm not saying he can't win. Like I said, I am a humble guy with that aspect that I understand what can happen in this sport because I've been in there. But if I say who I say I am, I'm gonna go in there and I'm excited for the opportunity to go into this hometown and see how I perform in that aspect of it. Like, how can I perform under that type of pressure?
Do you see that as a conflict of interest at all, that the venue y'all are fighting in is sponsoring him?
No, like I at first I know most people would, but again, yeah. I'm looking at it as I am training 2-3 times a day now. I started my own business, so like I got more time to work, and I am putting in the extra work that if I go in there and I am who I say I am, I'm going to do exactly what I think I'm going to do to Chachi. So being in the venue, being around his fans, being around his family, all them sponsors, everybody, I'm just kind of like, I'm ready to silence them.
Now, is this one a must win for you? And if not, is it important that you put on a good show or a good fight?
I looked at my second one as the, okay, Anthony, win, lose, put on a good show. And I did that.
Okay.
This one, in my mind, is a must win.
Okay.
I am 0-2. And it's not like I went in there and had 2 amazing barn burner brawls and put on like these fantastic 5-rounders, 4-rounders where they're like, wow, yeah. I mean, I went in there and I got humbled the first one. You know, we discussed that. And the second one, I got in there. I did what I needed to do, but I let the excitement get to me and I made the mistakes. And Mike, as a professional as he is, he capitalized on it and he got his hand raised. So now this one, I mean, 2 first round finishes like that, I have to go in there and I have to perform and I have to put on a beautiful masterpiece. I don't just have to win this one. I have to do it and I have to look good doing it.
Now, right before the fights, like, what do you do to like get you pumped up? Do you got like a favorite song you play, or what's the process of that?
I'm kind of done a little bit of everything. You know, I've been around a long time, so like I've had moments where I've got overly hyped and like was like yelling at my opponent, hitting my chest, you know. I've done stuff like that, but really just I would have to say the biggest thing that I've kept pretty consistent over the 15 years since I was 16 was Fight Week is full of fight movies. Rocky, okay. Fighters,
okay.
The Fighter, Mark Wahlberg one is my favorite, man.
What? It is. Oh, the Mark Wahlberg one. Yeah. I was watching the one the other day, the one with Clint, the $1 Million Baby or whatever.
That one, that was actually one of my My mom showed me that when we were younger, and where she falls.
Yeah, that's a really good movie.
That one has a good storyline behind it. But yeah, that one I would have to say is the thing I've done most is the fight movies on Fight Week.
And that one with Mark Wahlberg, Christian Bale, man, he played the hell out of his role.
Man, he the way he acts, he is very unique, man. He has played some characters from psychopaths to druggies to Batman.
Yeah, I first knew, like, really got onto him when he did the Shaft joint, but he played in a movie back in the days called Emperor of the Sun when he was a kid that I watched when I was a kid, man. So he's been around for a hot minute.
Never heard of that one.
Let's see. Yeah, Emperor of the Sun. It's like a movie where him and his family was like in Japan when the war, like the I guess World War II time when Japan bombed Pearl Harbor, and they were kind of over in Japan, and he ended up all by himself. It's pretty dope, though. Now, so you've been doing a lot of MMA. Like, how much did you get cut in MMA towards, like, bare knuckle? Like, are you ever worry about the cuts and bare knuckle and whatnot?
BKFC was the first, the one instead of Pechangos. Yeah, I'm still here. Can you hear me? Can you hear
me?
Okay. All right, I just want to make sure. Yeah,
I can hear you.
All right, sweet. BKFC Pechanga was the first time I was ever cut in 15 years. I had one in my eyebrow, one on my eyelid, and then my tooth went through my lip.
Your tooth went through your lip on the mic fight?
Yeah, he cut you actually, it was one of the really cool clips. He caught me with a check hook. You see it where like it echoes, and that check hook put my tooth through my lip.
Man, now how painful was that?
I didn't feel it till the next day, I would have to say.
Okay, after so in the moment you just didn't know what happened, and then
no, I didn't even know I was cut. I went back there, and they're like, "Oh, we gotta get stitches." It's like, "Oh, okay." And then I got my stitches. I went back to the thing and Scott back to the locker room, and Scott's like, "Hey Anthony, dude, your lips, like, are they gonna stitch that?" And I guess it was like split open, and I was like, "Yeah, I guess I gotta go back and get it." They couldn't see it because of the beard.
Yeah, it seems like bare knuckle has more of a risk for the stoppages when cat's eyes get closed shut or the cuts just get too bad, man.
Yeah.
Now, what would you say is your biggest strength inside the ring? And then what would you think is your biggest weakness that you might need to work on?
I would have to say my biggest strength throughout this camp, again, I've been doing a lot of searching. And when I first started, I wanted to forget about my MMA career. I'm like, you know what? Fresh start, new Anthony, new me, whatever. But then I realized, like, Anthony, you have something a lot of these guys don't. Yeah, I started when I was 16, before commission. So I've been fighting. I have 30 fights. I think my biggest strength would be my experience. I know it's not bare knuckle in general, but it's the fact that I have been competing as a martial artist since I was 16. So I'm 31 now. So more than half my life, my fight experience I got from fighting. So I think my experience would be my strength, and my weakness up until this point, keeping my composure at times, as you can tell against Mike, where I just got a little overexcited and I forgot the game plan. That's what we've been working on, is a lot of mental strength and sticking to the game plan for this camp. So I'd have to say my weakness would have to be composure at times, and then my strength is my experience.
Yeah, because you definitely had the advantage on Mike real early. And then right after that, he basically got it back. So,
yeah.
Now,
lack of composure.
When you train in MMA and you train in a bare knuckle, how much do they differ?
The wrestling, of course, the ground aspect. Okay. So before, I'd be going into the gym. And again, in my MMA career, I didn't take it as serious as I should have. I was a young kid. A lot of it, I didn't have the proper training. Scott's actually my first real coach throughout my whole career. So my MMA is, we would just show up and I spent more time fighting than learning to fight, if that makes sense. in my training days. So I didn't train proper. We'd show up to the gym, we'd throw gloves on, no shin pads, and we'd just spar for hours.
Yeah.
We'd do. So I think, but for now, I'm taking the time to focus. The time I would be focusing on the ground, I'm taking to focus on my body. So I'm doing a lot more strength and conditioning. I'm doing a lot more, I would have to say, technical pad work. So it's not, and it's just boxing. So I get to just, it's easier, in all honesty, I'd have to say.
So you brought up boxing, which is kind of goes into my next question. So you got a cat coming from boxing and you got a cat coming from MMA, and they're both coming in the bare knuckle. What, who do you think's got the easier transition?
MMA guys.
MMA guys. Okay.
For the defense aspect of it, we are used to the smaller gloves. Okay. And we are using, we get more of the skin on skin contact.
Yeah, y'all used to something a little closer to bare knuckle opposed to the boxing. They got the thick gloves. Because I'm hearing boxing, you know, a lot of cats saying the boxers really have a problem coming in the bare knuckle. Austin Trout seems to figure it out, but a lot of those cats don't really seem to figure it out.
Yeah, it's the, that's one thing, again, Scott is really big on, is big gloves is really, I don't use them at all. I train, when I hit pads, it's either strictly bare knuckle, like we wrap my hands and I hit them with bare knuckle, or I have like MMA gloves, like training gloves I'll wear. And then when we spar, it's headgear and MMA sparring gloves, the muffin tops. We're not, because in bare knuckle, it's not all about hitting them hard. It's about touching them. Boom, 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 boom. So that's, we don't, 16 ounces is something we do not really use. I mean, I do sometimes, like when I'm in Muay Thai class, but like during fight camps, I won't use them at all. Because of the blocking. You get, you create bad habits doing a lot of this. Because,
yeah.
So I think that would, why we have the advantage over the boxers is, the defensive portion of it.
Now, what has been your biggest challenge in your fighting career?
Believing in myself.
Okay.
I look back at my career and you look back at my fights, and I've always started good. Or if I put myself in a bad position, or I felt like I was put in a bad position, I kind of gave up on myself. I would skip them training days. I used to have to cut to make 135. I used to struggle. Okay. I used to miss weight. I used to just not believe in myself enough because I wasn't putting in the work. And now I'm walking at 35, 36. Like, I mean, I woke up this morning, 10 pounds off of fight weight, and we're a month out, 3.5 weeks out. I'm healthy. Like, even when I fought Mike, I had to cut to make 35.
Is it harder to lose the weight or to gain the weight?
It's harder to lose the weight because, like, I have, like, what most fighters probably go through, you know, this is a real thing at times, is especially when we don't have fights. I think Dustin Poirier said it best, is you can just be a danger to yourself sometimes. And, like, I think maybe a lot of fighters have this. I know I do. I just talked about it with my wife today. Is like, it's kind of like an eating disorder, truthfully, man, because, like, I can work hard for 2 weeks and then I'll crash and I'll just blow up another 10 pounds in a weekend. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah. And then it's just, everything's gone. And then you're beating yourself up again. And I used to do that consistently all the time. And I just wasn't cutting weight right. And so I wasn't believing in myself. But now this time around, for the first time, and I would have to say my 15-year career, I truly do. The one thing I think I've lacked my whole career is something I will not lack in this one, and that's the belief in myself.
Now, I look at, like, things that people do that they love, and fighters definitely are doing something they love, but how hard is it? It seems like such a challenge in the fight game to make a living compared to every other thing I see in life or sports in general. Like, every other sport seems easier to make a living except fighting. Is that a really big challenge for fighters? I mean, because I see a lot of guys saying, guys posted about bonuses that can't pay rent because they ain't got bonuses. And, you know.
I agree, man. And that's another thing with me in fighting. You know, I also think this has to do with how long I've been doing this. I see MMA or martial arts in general is It's a poor man's sport. If you're
that makes sense.
Don't get me wrong, you can get rich off of this. There's people that have done it, but you got to be special. And again, just like any superstar, you get a handful of quarterbacks that make the NFL, but you only get one or two of them that are absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Make that extra cash. And fighting, if you're looking to get rich, man, it's a long road ahead of you. I do it because, man, I just, at the time, I didn't choose fighting. Fighting was really just the way there's one thing I had to get out of where I was. Fighting brought me to where I am. You know, I met my wife through fighting. So I've got my kids through fighting. My whole life's been evolved around it, but I've never really looked at trying to get rich off of it.
What do you think truly gives the fighter the leverage to say, hey, I got to get paid this much to fight? Because it ain't the wins. I'm going to tell you that. Because I see dudes that are like undefeated and still can't get paid the big money.
It's definitely ticket sales, the way you present yourself.
Yeah.
That's why I love the opportunity you're giving me here, because this is networking and putting my words together and being from a small town. You know, this is something I need to work on too. And plus, I love hanging out and chatting about my upcoming fights too. I think, of course, performance, personality. And don't be a dick. Like, the more you bug them about it, I feel like that's a big issue. Like, when you bug these guys for the bonuses, where you're like, yo.
Yeah, man, they after a while, they just like, man, I'm tired of this dude calling for this bonus.
Yeah, they don't want to hear that, man. I mean, nobody wants to hear that.
And the bonuses aren't really in the contracts anyways, are they?
No, definitely not.
So they're just like, and I don't see, is that most fight promotions, do they give out bonuses like that?
At least in the local scene, I don't think so. I never got any cool bonuses or anything like that. I mean, I think when I was 18, I won Knockout of the Year in Minnesota. I didn't get no medal or nothing like that. It was just an article written about me. That was about it. You know, they don't hand out stuff like that. But I mean, I get it in the bigger promotions, but to beg for it is, I think it's unnecessary. And they're not going to want to bring you on for that. Just be yourself, have fun, and they like you. It's really about getting the fans to like you the most, I believe.
And I saw Bare Knuckle Show was shouting you out the other day about your fight coming up, and you always stay in the chat because you a fan of this too.
Absolutely.
I see you always on the, like, you was on the when Brian had the live stream going on the other day for the first fight night, you popped in there. I was like, yeah, this guy's he's not just a fighter of the sport. He's definitely a fan of the sport too.
Now, when I say fan, check this out. I do like a little get together with my brothers every Sunday and Wednesday. We do like a little talk, but I mean, when I say I'm a fan all the way from Pechanga, I have every fighter who won, how they won, their record, everything like that.
What the hell?
Because it's not just about we do our picks, of course, but it's
wow.
not that to me. It's about figuring out who I like to see, what I like to see, their styles, the way people move, which one of these people do I like most? And I want to take things from each one of them, you know? So I study this. I don't miss a show. This is what I want to do. And I believe that studying, even on off nights when people not in my weight class are fighting, is just as important. So yeah, I have everybody from Pechanga, every card. I haven't missed one.
I noticed some guys say they never watch the fight cards. I mean, what do you think about that?
They're in it for the wrong reasons, at least in my mind.
Are they just in it for the money, you think, and the fame when they don't watch none of the sport that they're in?
Maybe for some. I can't say too much on a lot of people because I know I've been around people that are like promoters and other fighters that just don't watch MMA because it's like, holy shit, my whole life has to do with this. Why would I want to watch it? I'll watch important shows. But
okay, I get that. Yeah.
Yep. But being me, I'm a little bit lower level. I'm still learning the sport. I think it's very important even champions, Kai, I see him in pods. I see him doing this stuff. I see them studying. It's like, there's more to this game. If you watch the elites, they watch everything. You know what I mean? They comment and they study everything. And I do believe that it's important.
Speaking of Kai, congratulations to him.
Congrats.
he seems like the most hated guy in BKFC as far as all the champions go. What do you think that's about? Is it his mustache?
No, I like his mustache, man. Until I shaved it, I had a trim. I was messing with mine for a bit, but my wife won't kiss me with a long mustache. But no, I don't know. I think it's his personality. He's young. He is
cocky now. He's getting cockier and cockier the more he wins.
But the more he wins is one of them things. Again, I've been around a long time, so it's kind of like, can't be really mad at the guy. I don't know why people are.
People betting against him all the time. They always, every fight, they like, nah, this the one, this the one, this the one. Everybody put up against him. I mean, Howard Davis, Elgallo. I mean,
that's what I was going to say. Two of his title defenses were against two of the probably biggest ticket sellers over in that area. And he went.
You talking about Howard and Elgallo?
Howard and Elgallo over there in Miami. And he went to Miami and he won back to back fights like over there. And I mean, he did it with a smile on his face all five rounds. So I like the kid. I like his style. I know most people don't because I think it's because he's cocky, but he's backing it up.
And, you know, I like to stir up controversy, but I know when I first got into this bare knuckle interview stuff, right? I was producing another podcast called Circle of the Kings with the guy Big Face, who was with Knuckletown Official, but now he's with Nelson Lopez doing his show.
Oh, okay.
And I know from inside sources that the company had invested interest in Howard Davis winning that match because Shaq was his sponsor.
Yeah, I do. See, I think with Shaq, with his sponsor, he brings something to the table, and that's I mean, even me and my brothers have discussed, you know, like that's, he has a big backing behind him, so why wouldn't you want him to? You know what I mean?
And I know Shaq pretty much, when he gets involved in anything he gets involved into, he invests into.
Yeah, he's an entrepreneur through and through. That dude's, he knows what he's doing.
Like, I could see Shaq actually buying ownership in BKFC down the line, you know, because he just went to that last Howard Davis fight versus baboon Luis Palomino.
Yeah, that was a good fight too. Yeah, he was down there. They had some good other celebrities over there too.
Now, who do you think is the face of BKFC? Is there even a face of BKFC, or is there just a bunch of faces?
Right now, I wouldn't say there's one. I mean,
it doesn't seem like there's one guy head and shoulders, right?
Nah, like not one over another, because I mean, I know Kai's up there. You know what I mean? And then truthfully, I know Stevens has been up there. You know, his face will pop around for a bit. And then around times, you got Soto's another big name that has been thrown around a lot.
And Lorenzo Hunt, I would say, before he got the little issue he had, but he's back now in Italy, so.
Yep. I'm biased because I'm from Minnesota, but Richmond, you know, with him coming back and winning that title, that's another guy that's kind of like has chance if he beats Dyer coming up, you know, to get his name back up.
If he beats Dyer, yo, that's going to be a tough one.
So I think we're kind of like at a standstill, but I think Kai with this last win, the guy was 4-0, but I'd rather, but then again, the way Allen fought, it's like, would have Kai done that to Allen? So it's like, now you're like, okay, Kai is kind of above everyone because of this next win. But then you got guys like Iberola that doesn't have a title.
He's on the come up. He's going to be getting it soon. He's fighting what, bantamweight?
Yeah, he's a 35er.
So he's got to go through Alberto Blas. Yo,
that's a task. That's a task.
That's going to be hell, yo.
The dude hits hard.
Yeah.
For a 35er.
You know who I think is the best dude in the BKFC though right now? Perdomo, yo. Leonardo Perdomo, man. I mean, I fought him last time. He's a monster, yo. It's like,
I think we talked about who do we think can go 20-0. I was like, I think that heavy.
Probably the guy. You're probably right, man. Because I mean, he should have a title shot next fight should be a title shot, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and again, I'm from the Midwest, so like I'm a huge Ben Rothwell fan. Can he get inside Rothwell, or is Rothwell gonna clock him with that nice right hand on the way in? It's a fight I want to see.
But he just walks through everything Leonardo Everybody. Does. He just, Everybody. I mean, and then the last guy tried to pull a scale, was going to try to hit him with the scale and the
that was in the weigh-in,
and he got knocked out like
that. Who's that one guy he fought? He's, what's it, not his last name? He's fighting the, in Italy. Adams is his last name, a really big. He's a very experienced guy. I don't know if his last name's Adams. He's fighting the that new signee, Hayes.
I don't know, but Arnold Adams has been out the game for a while. I don't know what's
Arnold. Okay, it's not him. He's fighting that Hayes guy in Italy. It's a taller. He's a really experienced heavyweight. Multiple.
You said he's in the, on the Italy card?
Yeah, I think he's going against that Hayes guy. But Perdomo fought him. Hayes. And people didn't give him the Italy card. Maybe not. But he Banks. Sorry.
Oh, Banks. Yeah, yeah. Banks.
People didn't give him credit for that fight as much as I think they should have, because that dude has done like Lethwei. He's done Muay Thai. He's done, you know, he's done a little bit of everything from what I understood. And it's like that right there, even though he didn't do the bare knuckle, the dude is very highly experienced in martial arts in general. So I, to me, that's where really I'm like, okay, he could be something dangerous. That's the fight.
I've heard it's hard to get people to fight Perdomo, that they don't want to, they know that if they fight him, their record is going to be blemished.
Yeah, it's like, is it really worth, you know, the thousands of dollars or whatever? They're, I don't know what they pay for the heavyweights. I would assume way more than a flyweight. But is it worth getting blasted from somebody like him? Because I think he rocked that dude at weigh-ins with his forearm.
Yeah.
Before the scale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, so you fight, this fight is going to be flyweight, right?
Yep.
Do you fight flyweight and bantamweight?
I've been a bantamweight most of my career, but with my my size and my build, and like I said, I'm walking in mid-30s now, and that's just fully hydrated and everything like that. So we just believe the right way would be to 25.
So that's flyweight, right?
Flyweight, yep.
Now, and that seems like a better shot of coming out with a title in a flyweight. Cause I mean, Dodds is getting old, man. Dodds is 40 years old. I don't know how many more years he has. He ain't fought in a while. It's about time for him to fight.
Yeah. And he's not even the one I believe will have the title by the time I get there. Cause like I plan on going 3-0 this year. And then next year kind of breaking the rankings. 25 division, there is a handful of guys that are they're making noise right now that are I find to be super exciting, and I can't wait for all of us to make the flyweight division exciting.
I mean, because even like my guy J.R. Ridge, he ain't fought in a while. I mean, Chansey's kind of getting up there, and he's got a bunch of losses. They just got really this dude, Aguero, whatever.
Aguero, yeah.
And but I don't know, does he even fight anymore?
I don't know. Right now, I feel like the ones that are like in the 25 division, like that are making noise, I think honestly, the number one and number two would have to be, in my mind, would be Randall and Strode. I think Strode is number one.
Oh, I forgot. Strode, no, that's the guy. Strode, that's the guy to beat. He's the guy.
When he first fought, I text my brother. I'll have to go back through it. And like, I text my brother and I told him, I was like, Strode will be the one I have to beat to get the title. Yeah. And I was like, Randall will be the one I have to beat to get to the title. I was like, I truly believe them two are the most dangerous guys at 125, respectfully. And I was super excited for their fight. I think them guys will be up there for a while. And I know a lot of people don't like him, but Justin Martinez has been making some noise.
That's my guy. I got back-to-back wins, yo.
I think what he did to Zay surprised me. I had Zay win that one because Zay is just he's a brawler. You know, he's an in-type brawler. And with Justin being a little bit more wild, it was like, I bet more that Zay was going to land like a dirty uppercut or something to win. But he proved me wrong, and he came in and he looked fast. I thought he looked a little wild, but it didn't matter because when you're that fast and you put that much pressure on, it don't matter where you're swinging from. Nobody can see it. And it's the ones you don't see that count. So I thought he went in there very well, and he played that one the right way. And I think he would have done it to that guy that gave up on him. I think he would have done the same thing.
You talking about the Prince Gutierrez? That was a bad look, yo. That was really a bad look. That was one of the worst fights I've seen in BKFC since I've been watching it. Like, this was very embarrassing, man. Like, for that fighter.
It really was. I know. I'll see Mike again. I think he's another one.
He pulled out his last fight. He was supposed to fight Justin.
Yeah, I think what it was is his hand. But when you take, I think the thing about bare knuckle is for Mike, I like Mike. We still chat.
I do too. I do too.
But respectfully, just coming from somebody that's taken certain damage like that before is, I like Mike, but I think I took some years off of him when I hit him. Like he hit the ground hard, and then he took a less harder shot against that next kid and fell twice. So I think on top of the damage he had done to his hand in them two fights, I think he just needed the break anyway to be fully.
And he got knocked down both when he fought you. He got knocked down by you first, and then the other guy he fought knocked him down first.
Yeah, and he stumbled
and he came back one. So that ain't gonna work all the time. You getting knocked down first.
No, and I as a homie, I think I'd like to see him just take some time and rest that head a little bit. And I mean, there's only a few things you can't replace in your body, and the brain is one of them.
And I interviewed Andrew Strode. I was so amazed at how humble he is.
Yes. Me too.
He is extremely humble.
He's just an everyday kid, man.
An everyday kid. You know, I'm 45, so I was like, damn, this dude sounds like he's 17 years old, man.
I don't know exactly how old he is, but I seen clips. I haven't seen the whole thing, but he seems like a nice, even when he speaks during interviews and stuff like that, is he believes in himself, but he's confident, you know, and he's not too cocky and he's humble. Like, he understands the game. He's going to be a problem, and he's going to be a star in the 125 division, I believe.
What do you think about the last few cards? Like, how'd you like the Dubai show?
Oh man, I loved it. The first night was freaking awesome. Hart, of course, super pumped that she kept the title. Trout, I actually had Snake winning that fight. I mean, before the fight, of course, I picked Snake to win, not for anything, but he had more bare knuckle experience, and I thought he was going to come in and use his reach a little more, and he did it in the first round, but it didn't matter because Trout showed his world champion experience, and he turned it around and he played it smart and he came back, and I think he won the fight.
I was watching on Amazon, like, because I normally watch on Amazon, and the last fight got cut off. It like said live ended. I was like, what?
Oh man.
So I didn't get to see the main event fight, and I was so mad. But then the next night everything went through, and I was happy for my girl Jessica Borga, man. Like,
we did.
I've never seen a female knock out another female bare knuckle.
No, not like that. You don't even see that really in MMA. Like, you see with like head kicks, like that, but you don't see somebody throw two pistol rights down the middle and put somebody to sleep. She was fast. I didn't really see what happened and from that camera angle until the replay, and it's like, oh, she hit her with two.
Yeah.
Like, oh man. Yeah, I had her winning also.
I mean, I only saw the two fights that she fought before, but both of the fights, she demolished her opponents early in the rounds. And those were both TKOs, if I'm not mistaken, her first two. And this was a knockout. I mean, even Christine Faria hasn't really knocked nobody out like that.
No. And
they probably won't, because Christine will have to come up to Borga's weight. Borga's not going to go down.
Nah, Borga takes care of herself really well. I think going to 35 would hurt her more. And let her be who the champion, man. Like, she earned that, you know. Hold your 45 title. Don't go down, you know. Run through some people. I think that'd be cool for her. Let's see. Another Beck Rawlings is a hard hitter woman that hasn't really put people out, but she's another one that, like, from what I've heard from other women, that hits like a tank. So Borga's strong.
So are you looking to try to get on any of these cards overseas and whatnot?
I do want to. I don't have a passport or nothing, but my goal is, I told Scott, I was like, this year, my man, I was like, I promise you, we're going to go 3-0 this year. Next year, we're going to start traveling. I would love next year to just start breaking the rankings and fighting some people around the world.
So what are we going to expect with this fight with Chachi Versace, man? I mean, this is debut, so.
Not going to lie, we have about three different game plans. We have done everything we possibly could to cover any types of grounds. I believe he's going to come in with his debut. It's in his hometown. He is doing all this promoting, which I thank him for. But that's a lot of pressure. Yeah. I'm coming in with a few $1,000 worth of tickets. My homies, my kids are going to be front row. My mom, we are there to silence the crowd. And what you can expect is for me to go in there, be calm, collective, smart, use my experience and my skills to make him panic and hopefully get him out of there in two.
Now, if it goes the long, like five rounds or something, you think he's going to have the cardio for this? Because I'm starting to realize more and more, and the more I hear Lytle talking about it, man, some of these guys are not understanding that the cardio has got to be top notch in this. That's why Kai Stewart is, to me, doing what he's doing. He's the king of cardio, man. Mm-hmm. He's relentless, nonstop. He don't tire out one bit.
He's on them toes, man. He has them twinkle toes for 10 minutes. Not even 10 minutes. He's hopping around while in between rounds. He is talking to his corner. Endurance is a big thing. I think endurance in your shoulders. We train and in your arms and in your legs are, you know, everything like that is super important. So if it goes five, I don't think he'll have the leg strength. Mm-hmm. He's come down from a heavier weight like I have. You know, I was like 185. I think he was like 280. So he's dropped a lot of weight. But
he was 280?
I think so, yeah, looking at photos.
What the hell?
Yeah, and I just looking at him.
Now, was he a chunky 280? Like,
yeah, he was ballooned up, my man. He was ballooned up.
So he's kind of like my man, Merck. Marcus Suarez, where he was like, you know, highly overweight, and he had a transformation.
Yeah, that Chachi's like that. Except I think the thing that's his downfall in this process is he just doesn't lift. I think the endurance in his muscles from dropping all that weight. He says he runs a lot. He doesn't really work on a diet. He's just mindful of what he eats, and I think that's something mistakes I've made in my past in my career. So I think that's a big downfall of him. Because what you eat and what you put in your body and how you treat it and with lifting and everything really builds your muscles and makes you healthier and endurance. And I think there's no way his body can go the 10 minutes at the pace I can put on.
And I would think when you're like overweight like that, you're probably not really super strong and got a lot of power. So as the weight comes down, you're probably, cause sometimes they say like if a cat like Borga goes to 135, she's probably going to demolish those chicks because she's still going to have that power.
Mm-hmm.
But it seemed like he probably wouldn't have no power because he wasn't really that built at all.
Yeah. And he, you know, when he did drop the weight and when he was fighting at heavier weights, he went to decision in his two stand-up fights. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he has the power. If he doesn't have the power to put people down with gloves on, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, bare knuckle's different because, you know, you just hit them directly. But I think, he's going to struggle with that.
Think he's going to try to bum rush you out the gate?
Possibly, because he's worked with Lorenzo a couple times.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I noticed that. Yeah. He's been working with Lorenzo.
And he worked with like Street coming up to this fight. A couple other guys. I think he went over there for like one weekend and sparred with Reber and them guys. So he's got some good looks this camp. So we're expecting the best Chachi there is. So, there is an opportunity he could bum rush us. There's a chance that he backs off. So we've kind of prepared for anything, either option he decides to do. We got game plans for both.
Now, clinching, man. Like, how much do you like to clinch in this sport?
I did not in the beginning, but my boy Tamir, shout out Tamir, he just got back from Thailand not too long ago, and he has drastically helped me with clinch and clinch work. So I think it's a very big mixing his clinch work and like going over things over the last few months. And with my boxing footwork, I love it now. Honestly, I love the inside work.
Yeah. Cause it seems like clinching is a big part of this sport. There's the offensive clinching. But it seems to be a really a good defensive thing when somebody's starting to, you know, put them hands on you to go ahead and just grab and clinch.
grab the clinch, kind of like whip him to the side real quick and get out of there. At least just grab him and kind of like tie him up. I think the clinch is more important. Again, it's Kai does a great. He's one I know we brought up a few times, but there's a few people that have a really good clinch. The one that really stands out was when Trout fought, was it Paulino, and they got really tight and he grabbed his hip and whipped to the side, came up with an uppercut. Stuff like that is that type of inside work is slick.
And I know when Reber fought Perez, man, Perez clinched the hell out of his ass. And, you know, it doesn't look like a lot of damage, but when the punches to the face and the clinch like that, man, too many of them, man, will wear you down, man.
It is. And they swell. You know, that's such tight little touch. It's like over and over again. But, yeah, I think the clinch is I didn't at first, but we have done a drastic change in this fight camp, and we do work clinch.
Now, you know, I follow a lot of guys on social media. Some guys are like BKFC haters and stuff like that. Some people think BKFC isn't going to last. What you think about that?
I think they're just blowing smoke out of their own ass, but man, I think
you think they're just pure haters. Because
I do think so, and people look at it as a dangerous thing, but I don't. It's exciting, and we're humans, we're barbarians in the soul, and I think nothing really fills that void like bare knuckle.
I mean, what's the difference? We go watch a movie, gangster movies, all the time, and be infatuated with gangster movies. I mean, you know, there's so many things I watch that are violent as hell that I freaking love, man. I mean, it's like, look at Roman society back in the days. These guys were entertained by watching dudes kill each other with swords, man, like chopping off heads. And this is our, you know, Roman American gladiator for society today. This is probably as far as it's going to go. Bare knuckle. We're probably not going to get chopping off heads.
I mean, unless it's online, on Instagram sometimes has some wild shit, but I agree. It's that's kind of why I chose this sport. We just talked about this with my boy Tamir at the gym. It's like, I chose like the fighting portion of it is, I tell people, I was like, I'm a good person. But you put me in the right situation, I'm a horrible human being.
Okay.
And it's more of a...
Explain that.
Like, in a life or death situation, if you are human, everyone decides to be go back to our animal instincts, survive.
Yeah. I'm a laws of nature guy.
Yeah. And everybody, you know, but we choose to be good people. That's what make good
people. No, yeah, it's a choice.
Bad people are just people that don't choose to... They just stick to their animal instincts is the way I look at it. But when I'm in the ring and I'm fighting, there's nothing more pure than that. I get to truly feel myself, you know, that animal instinct and like that adrenaline rush. And I think that's what the fans get out of it that don't fight, is that pure excitement of the sport.
And for us, being that we don't live like animals, isn't it like our... I ain't a bare knuckle fighter, but it's just humans in general. It's like our ultimate, like, survival of the fittest, where it's legal. You don't gotta, you know, nobody's getting killed. You know, I mean, a guy did get killed in bare knuckle, but nobody's killing nobody. But it's survival of the fittest.
Yeah, it's my hard work versus his hard work, or her hard work versus her hard work, or who wants it more in some cases. You know, BKFC, it's not always, you can get two very high level technical guys in there and it won't be technical. It'll be just a hell of a brawl. You know what I mean? And I think that's the excitement behind it. Sorry, I kind of lost track of what I was talking about there for a second.
I mean, I ain't gonna lie, man. I mean, I watched boxing when I was a kid, and boxing ain't what it used to be. Never really got into MMA, but it's just something about bare knuckle, man. I mean, even like some fights, like I'm not gonna lie, I'm big on like the big name fighters typically, but you'll see some fights that are just guys you ain't never really heard of that put on way better fights than some of these big name fights, man.
Yeah,
and you absolutely. 8 to 12 fights in a night. I mean, that's a lot of action packed right there, man.
Yeah, it really is. Like, I didn't know any of the guys that were fighting in Dubai.
I didn't either.
But that night one was like finish after finish. After TKO. Then even that decision fight was a 3-round bang or a 5-round banger. And then it was like a finish after finish after finish. And then we had like a few finished decisions, but they were still, the Bret Hart fight was an amazing 5-rounder. They had basically the fight of a lifetime there, they said, that one. So I think.
Are you talking about the Tony guy, right?
Yeah. That fight was absolutely.
That kind of reminded me. It reminded me like a little bit of Loco Soto versus Tenaglia without the big names, you know, because that's another fight where you could tell once they hit the third round, man, their cardio was, were exhausted, dude.
And but they did not, you could not, they were leaning on each other, falling over. But as they were leaning shoulder to shoulder, they were swinging uppercuts. And it's just like you said, man, it's some of the times like I'm usually for the big name ones, but that's kind of why this year I promised myself that I wasn't only going to be a fighter, but I was going to be a fan also, because I got to learn the sport. So I have been learning to enjoy the lower level fighters that come in and put on a great show. Cause now even as a fighter myself, I get to watch their journey from here to there, just like they get to watch my journey from here to there.
So what do you love most about this sport?
The people. I would have to say I have met more cool people. I have amazing people in the MMA community.
Now, when you mean the people, you mean like the people in the organization, the fighters and stuff like that?
The fighters, the fans, the organization. Like you said, I jump a lot into these like with Brian Socha and these guys, and I introduce myself, and they are friendly. He gave me a shout out. You know, I've met more. I haven't met these people, but I feel like these people are cool.
Like you already know them.
Yeah, like they show me real support because I do not know them. They drop that follow button because they enjoy what I put out, who I am as a person. So I feel like I've got more followers and what I would consider friends throughout my bare knuckle journey than the whole 12 to 15 years I did in my MMA career. I have my loyal followers from back home and few here and there, but like an all-around outreach of people, of networking. Bare knuckle is amazing. The people are amazing.
I think I gotta agree with you. Like, I've interviewed so many guys, and the haters can say what they want, but I've heard family, you know, organization. I mean, there's times when I'm just commenting and Brian shouting me out and just kind of recognizing, like he said something the other, you know, yesterday or the other day, he was like, yo, appreciate you covering the sport the way you do. And I was like, it feels good that people recognize my hard work. I'm not a bare knuckle fighter, but I feel like I fight hard and I work hard to promote you guys.
No, absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I put every day into, you know, clips, and I got two podcasts. I got the hip hop one and I got the bare knuckle, you know, but I get way more love in this bare knuckle world than I do in this hip hop world, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, I know a lot of people in the hip hop world because I've done music promotion for 15 years and stuff, but it's just not the same.
No.
Like, fighters never are trying to charge me for interviews. You got rappers that are bums now that nobody even talks about and thinks about. And when I hit them up to try to interview them because I appreciate what they did, they like, yo, how much money you got? Like, dog, come on, man. You're not even worth nothing no more, man.
Yeah, I get that. And I did part of the gaming community, too. I got into, like, the streaming, like, competitive gaming a little bit there. And they're the same way, man. Like, you guys can jump into other podcasts, and people are like, oh, hell yeah, man, what's up? Thank you for what you're doing for the sport. Thank you for this. They'll just block you and be like, don't talk in my chat. Don't come up in here, bro, and be like that. It's like, yo, listen here, dude. You sit on your ass all day. You're not even working a real job. Just, you know what I mean? Like, at that point, like, don't treat other people like shit. Like, just don't do it, man. How else are we going to grow as a platform? And then at that time, the platform shut down and everyone had to split up and go somewhere else for streaming at that point. But it was just the only way people are going to grow is by working with each other, even if you have to fight each other. That's why I follow a lot of 25ers because I care about their journey. I just, when it comes to me, it's, I'm going to have to put it on pause for a little bit, but I still like seeing everybody succeed.
Now, do you ever lose respect for a guy that gets into the match and, like, quits?
Yes.
Even if he, you know, like, I mean, I would say it still takes somewhat of a brave person to just get into bare knuckle, period.
Oh, absolutely. But coming from a fighter's point of view, it's like, I look at it like, yes, I give you respect. I'm good for you. You did that.
Yeah.
But now, 110%, you're going home and you're flashing that around like, I'm a professional bare knuckle fighter.
Okay.
Like,
yeah. Well,
you can't do that, man. I've spent 15 years of my life putting towards this sport, and we just got people like you that get this opportunity and you suck ass. And now you're just trying to be, you just want the thing to be a fighter. Or they go to ask for more money. It's like, hey, dude, you won one fight. You know, you don't need to do that. You know, and again, this is just kind of, I'm 0-2, so I can't say too much because I don't know their sides of it. But in both my fights, even the one with AJ Rodriguez, when he dropped me in 23 seconds, if you look at that fight, I did everything in my fucking power to get back to my feet. I fell over twice. I was out, hit the mat, woke up, and the first thing my heart decided to do in fight or flight was get up and keep fighting.
Yeah.
I did not stop that fight. The ref stopped that fight. You go into one with Mike. I got up.
Same thing with that. I just thought you got up a little too early with the one with Mike. I thought you tried to jump up too fast. That's another thing I realized. Guys try to, you know, they get knocked down. And I guess the pride hits them like, oh, I got to get up quick. Yep. Like, but I see like Brandon took a knee last fight because he was, you know, he was getting fucked up. And they said, yeah, that was a smart thing to do. You know what I'm saying? To kind of just regain your composure and whatnot.
He's a high level of fighter. As you can tell, he's been in there. He's done this. And like I said, when I say my composure fell was I go back and I look at it and I 100% agree with you. If I would have taken an extra second to just sit on my knee up until about 5 or 6, stand up at 7, 8 or 9, you know, just relax, take a breather. Maybe the fight would have gone and, you know, it could have done that. But being the fact that I got dropped in 23 seconds, my first one, my pride hit me and I'm like, Anthony, get up. Get up. I used the rope to get up and I just stood there and I looked at him. I was like, okay, Anthony, you're going to do this. And, you know, I ended up stumbling. It was a good stoppage. I think, you know, Mike stumbled too, but I can't really dread on the past. I got to just focus on how to not let that happen again.
You know, when Brandon Allen lost to that, what was it, Gaffey or whatever his name was? That dude was a little bulldog to me. There was something that made me think about what Kai Stewart said in the second interview with him, that Brandon Allen never fought nobody who was ranked.
Okay. See, and I didn't. I was
your ranked guy who never fought nobody who's ranked. I think that has to make a difference.
Yes, I think so too.
Gaffey is a problem. Somebody said.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
Yeah, I thought he fought a really good fight. I mean, he beat the brakes off of Brandon Allen. I mean, he was spitting out blood towards the end, you know.
He's slick, like, and he, like, the way he dips, and he's really tight, and his hook, he's fast for 45er.
Yeah.
He is very fast.
All right, so what we got? We got less than a month away, right?
Yep, 3 weeks coming up here.
Your fight? Now, you're from Minnesota, though, right?
Yes.
Originally? You big on your boy Anthony Edwards?
I am not. I actually have really dumbed my focus to just strictly fighting nowadays. I don't play video games. I don't really keep up with sports. I wake up. I cook breakfast for the family. I work out. I go to work. Go straight to the gym. Come home. And then I go for my nightly runs. I run a few miles every night just to kind of get used to the – because I think they're an hour ahead of us or an hour behind us, one of the two down in there. Yeah. And I'm going to be fighting on an outside show. So for the last all camp, I've been doing 9 o'clock, 9:30 runs with a sweater on to get used to the humidity, just kind of getting used to my body up there. So I do that at night. So I really haven't had time to keep up with anything. And I'm a Sixers fan and they keep losing.
So I saw you posted some videos like sparring with your wife. You had her having I guess those pads over her chest and stuff like that. Like, is she getting into fighting at all?
We've been together 15 years and she has trained with me on and off for them 15 years. besides the two times she decided to get pregnant. I don't know how, but no. But even now she trains full time. She's also been in the gym with me losing weight. She's down 45 pounds in the last year too. So that is awesome. But she would like to get in there at some times. We train for it. And I think probably an amateur bare knuckle one is what she would want to do. Yeah. And she does. She holds that stuff
with the pad all the time.
She is my designated pad holder when my outside of classes.
Is that kind of like help out like the family structure too? Cause y'all able to have quality time while you're training and stuff like that?
Yes. Cause our kids also train at the same place we do. So they go to class 4 days a week and then we're there 6 days a week. So we're always in the gym together. It actually just works out super perfect for our family because everything we do is together. Most parents are like, you're going to graduate high school when you're in my house, or you're going to do this when you're in my house. Well, for us, we look at our kids and it's like, as long as you're in our house, you will be going to a martial arts school and you'll be learning to defend yourself. So
Before we let you go, we got a message for Chachi Versace.
Hope you're training hard, my man. All them pictures you're taking of yourself on your deck, bending over with all your jewelry, man, that ain't going to win you a fight. All them days you're deciding to hang out with your friends and go to parades, I want you to know I stalked you. I know what you were doing, and I made sure I trained three times that day, because when you're out there having fun, I'm not. This is all I want to do. This is everything. I've spent 15 years waiting for this opportunity. I'm 0-2 and my back's against the wall, and unfortunately you're the one in front of me and that I have to take out. I'm ready to silence the crowd. I fully believe in my skill set. I also respect you, but that is the last time you will hear me say that, because in 3 weeks it will be a massacre in Clearwater.
And any shout outs you want to do, any sponsors, anything?
Yes, I would like to first shout out Scott Farley over at Goat and Core. You brought my family in. Thank you. You made me believe in myself again. My wife, for always being there. My teammates, Tamir, Alex, Will, all you guys, and my sponsors, Makotech Mouth Guards, Lactigo, Combat Corner, Combat Candy, Voodoo Graphics, Visuals, S Visuals, Insanity Fightwear, Valhalla Beard Care, and Noble Software. And then, of course, Triple P, my man, you, because you allowed me to come on here and hang out with me and help better myself also.
I actually got one more question. So the nickname Devil's Advocate, I don't remember if I asked you, did you come up with that or somebody gave you that?
My mom gave it to me. I'm not a religious person, but she told me
I'm not that
is that the Devil's Advocate chooses if you go to heaven or not, is the way she told me. So in the fight world, the Devil's Advocate, to get to the top, you got to get through me. Because when I was 16, I was running through people. I was like 3-1, had my first title fight within two months. I think I had four fights in 2 months. The quickest turnaround, I think I fought a Saturday turnaround and fought the next Friday. There was no commission back then. It was walk-in shows.
Yeah.
So it was my mom gave me that one, because at the time, to be the best, you had to go through me.
So it had nothing to do with the movie?
Nothing to do with the movie, nothing to do with really religious. It was like, just, I am the decision maker if you're going to be the best or not, because I am the best. So if you want to be the best, you got to go through me.
Well, I appreciate you taking out the time, man. I know I probably should never be saying this, because a lot of these guys I'm going to end up interviewing, but I'm rooting for you.
I appreciate the support, my man. He has plenty. So I will
I don't know if you know, I was supposed to join Knuckletown officials at one point, but some little situation kind of happened. We're not going to get into that story and whatnot. So now I always kind of looked at them as the competition, man, ever since that. You know,
competition, but friends at the same time. That's the way.
Yeah. I mean, it's nothing.
No bad blood, but it's
nothing personal, strictly business.
Strictly business, and that's the way I'm looking at Chachi, man. It's strictly business. I have enough friends. I don't need no more. And that was my other thing throughout my MMA career, is I was always worried about making friends. This time around, this run, now that I'm 0-2, I don't care who likes me or who doesn't like me. I just want to go get that title. And I got a long road ahead of me.
Hope you enjoy the rest of your day. You know, you're more welcome to come on here anytime you want. Sure. Can't wait to see your fight. That's going to be a stacked card, too, anyways.
I am super pumped for that card. My boy, Career.
Yeah, the Florida cards always seem to be pretty popping, man.
We'll shout out Creer because he's a goat fighter also before Skedaddle.
I'm going to have to look up his footage, check him out. I mean, Warren got beat last time, so, I mean, there's no telling what's going to happen. I think Jay Jackson and Jomie Escobosa is going to be an interesting one, too.
Yeah, that one, too. I'm excited for Reaver to be back.
Honestly. Yeah, that's my guy, man. That's my guy.
I'm a fan of him. Quentin, he's another one that, truthfully, I just follow his career on Instagram, and I think he's a good dude, and I'm excited
I'm
to
not
watch
familiar
him.
With him. Quentin Gaskins, I'm going to have to check him out.
Yeah, I just like his style. He seems to really just want to help people. Like, that's all he does, you know?
And I like Joe White, too.
I don't know if I know him.
Yeah, he's pretty good, man. He's going to have a tough one, though, because he's 2-1, and the Joe Ray's 2-0, and they some big boys, okay. So.
Yeah, them are some good ones. There's some
and you got Alex Castro over here. I mean, he's 0-2, but he don't look like a guy that I would want to run into on a dark night. No,
me neither. Who's Castro fighting?
Nathan Rivera.
Yeah, Rivera, that's the one.
He's 3-0.
The Rivera era.
Yeah, I mean, you got two shift people on here. I mean, Michael Larimore, he need to do something because he got to make a comeback because Keith Richardson bullied him, and you got the beautiful Crystal Pittman, of course.
It's actually,
you know, I'm trying to interview her.
Big card. I'm excited to be on it because of the few bigger names that are on there.
Yeah, you're on a nice card here. This is definitely a lot bigger than the last one you did, I think.
Yeah, and all throughout, I'm excited for it. I'm super pumped.
And people are definitely gonna be watching y'all's fight because Chachi got a being that he's with Knuckletown and all that. And I don't know if you remember when his during the hurricanes and all that, like he lost his crib and all that and stuff. So a lot of BKFC people looked out on the cookout from what I heard. Yep. And
that's another thing.
That's what family's about. You know, I guess.
The bare knuckle family is somebody that, you know, it's a good group of people to be around. So that's why I said that this is not just for the win itself, but this is to see if I am who I say I am. You know, I'm talking a big game. I'm going to go in there and I want to see how I perform under the pressure of being in his hometown, in his venue, around his family and his friends, and with, you know, and I'm excited for it. See how I perform.
All right, well, we better let you go. We just hit that hour, a little over the hour mark. I'm going to get off here. I'm going to clip up a bunch of clips. We'll have some clips going out, you know, all up into the fight, man. And
shout out to Cuts. I seen that popped up on the screen for me, man. He's going to get me cleaned up while I go out there, man. But I appreciate you having me. Thank you.
All right, man. Enjoy your day, man.
All right, man. Much love. Appreciate you.
All right, you too. All right, peace. Well, shouts out to Anthony Yost, Devil's Advocate. Really good card he's fighting on. BKSC Fight Night Clearwater, May 2nd, 2025, 7 p.m. Eastern. Looks like he is the first fight with Chachi. You got Quentin Gaskins, Logan Spearer. Looks like Joe Ray, Joseph White, Nathan Rivera versus Alex Castro. You got Crystal Pittman versus Claudia Zamora, and Michael Larimore versus Samuel Samples, who looks pretty cocky. And you got my guy Jay Jackson. Go check out that interview fighting Jomie Escobosa. That's gonna be a tough one. Jomie's 9-2. And then you got my guy Ryan Roy Reber fighting Matt Guyman. I'm not too familiar with him, but he's 1-0. And then Jared Warren versus Joseph Creer. That's gonna be interesting as well. And don't forget, also, you got a couple more events coming up. April 18th, you got BKFC Fight Night Omaha. Cochran versus my guy Marcus Edwards. Definitely got an interview with him. Go check that out. Still got BKFC 73 in Italy. Camozzi versus Hunt. And I definitely think Hunt's going to win that. You still got BKFC on the zone Salt Lake City. Richmond versus Dyer. That's going to be... Oh, that's going to be interesting because Dyer is no joke. And can't wait to see what this Italy card is going to look like as well. I want to see this guy, Hayes Heppy, fight versus Steve Banks. Really interested to see his debut in BKFC. And you got Rico Franco versus Jimmy Sweeney as well. All right, well, appreciate y'all tuning in. We go live on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And also, I will take the audio version and I will upload it to appreciate you at any time, man. Much love. So I will take the audio version and I will download that and upload that to Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more. And the video version, of course, goes to Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Rumble, and BitChute as well. Once again, appreciate y'all tuning in to another episode of Paul Pickett Podcast. And I have been off for a couple weeks from interviews. I was dealing with a little minor health issue. Nothing life-threatening, just something kind of more of just discomfort and pain and whatnot. But, you know, it's not going to hold me back. As long as I'm alive and breathing, I'm still going to keep moving forward. And also go follow the Live from Vietnam podcast as well. If y'all like music or hip-hop music, we do a lot of interviews over there as well with a lot of the hip-hop artists from the 90s and 80s and R&B artists from the 90s and 80s as well. So definitely follow Live from Vietnam and follow Paul Pickett Podcast on all social medias. Also go follow the TikTok as well because clips go to Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and much, much more. And appreciate y'all tuning in. Peace. I'm out.